made the value go up. Well, I didn't go out that morning on Black Friday, but that afternoon, there was a news bulletin literally on the radio in Flint, Michigan. It said, Kmart on Miller Road will be getting a shipment of Care Bears at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to be in line. So I went, because my three daughters wanted Care Bears. The doors opened at 1 o'clock. All of the women ran. I mean, there was only like two guys in line, and I was the closest one to the door, about 50 people away. The women just bolted into that place and knocked the guy down that was opening the door. I mean, it was incredible. And so I walked in, and I'm looking around, and this lady says to me, and she goes like this, well, they all ran to the red light that was blinking, or the blue light. Remember that thing, blue light special? They all ran over there thinking that's where it was. But it was over in this other aisle. And so I gingerly walked over there. Not a person around, all God's people said. Amen. And I said, I wonder if she'd like this one, or wonder if Sarah'd like that one, or I'm just wondering what they'd like, and I'm looking at them, and pretty soon, it was like a dark cloud came over me. And there were like 30 women on this side, 30 women on that side, all coming into that, funneling into that aisle. And I was in the middle. And I hadn't grabbed one of them yet, and I needed two. So I quickly grabbed two. And about five ladies grabbed the ones I grabbed. And they started pulling on them. I said, they're going to tear these things in half. So I finally just yanked them away. And they started, just went crazy. Hands were flying, feet were flying, purses were flying, Care Bears were flying. And I'm trying to get out, and I've got these Care Bears like this. I literally bent over like a halfback running to, you know, get out of there. And this woman was right in front of me. I moved, and I tripped, and I fell down. Now I'm laying on the ground, and women are walking on my back. I crawled out of there like I was going, you know, crawling in Vietnam to get out of, and get safe. And I crawled out. I came out to the aisle. I ran to the checkout stand. The guy looked at me, and I looked pretty disheveled. And he said, what on earth happened to you? I said, Black Friday. Said, here's what I want to buy. Here's the money. See you later. I'm telling you, it was terrible. It was one of the scariest experiences in my life. Men, I might have been able to put up with. You can shove them back. But women, they just accosted me and treated me with disdain. And it was horrible. I need to go home and take a pill. So I want to encourage you to have a great Thanksgiving, but watch out for that next day. That's a terrible place to go. How many go on Black Friday? Well, there's just a few nuts in the house. That's Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at a significant piece of scripture. Here's what's unique about it. It really is pictured in the Old Testament. What we're about to read is pictured in the Old Testament. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers who were struggling with Old Testament practice. And of course, they lived in and around Israel, and they would be inundated with the practice of the Jewish religion that required offerings and ceremonies and sacrifices. And they built their religion based upon a sacrificial system that could not take away sin. It just covered their sin for another year. And we'll tell you a little bit about that. And Paul, writing the book of Hebrews, I believe Paul's the author, Paul, in writing the book of Hebrews, addresses this problem. And so from chapter 1 of Hebrews back down to the last chapter, 13 of Hebrews, you have Paul defending the new way, the new covenant. You have Paul proving to them that there's a better way. And in the passage we're going to read this morning, Paul makes several statements that prove that the Christian life, the Christian practice, is better than Judaism. And you know that Christ came to fulfill the law. He came to be the final sacrifice. And that was the testimony that he was leaving for the Jewish people who rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so during the life of the apostle and the apostles, there was a struggle with Judaism trying to get into the local New Testament church. And Paul is writing to Jewish Christians who are still struggling in their life with their past religious practices. And you know what? Many of us do that. If you've been saved out of a different kind of religious practice and you get saved and have Christ as your Savior, there are things that you did or practiced that still play a part in your life. And you have to deal with that. And that's what the Jewish Christians were doing. And so Paul says in chapter 13 and verse number 9, he says this, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines," Judaism, "for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace," Christianity, "not with meats," sacrifices, "which have not profited them that have been occupied therein," or it hasn't given them complete and full forgiveness, and they're occupied with them. That is, they are practicing them still over and over and over again, not realizing that there has been a finished sacrifice, a complete work on the part of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
He says in verse 10, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle." Here's what he's saying. They have no right to claim our Christian belief system if they're still practicing Judaism. Because they're making Judaism the mode or the way in which a person enters salvation. And it is not the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." Amen? Verse 11. "For the body of those beasts," that would be the sacrificial animals, "whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, they're burned without the camp." There's a reason for that. In the Old Testament, during the era of the tabernacle, that area was called the camp. And nothing was allowed to be killed inside the tabernacle grounds. It was not lawful to do so. They had to kill that animal outside the camp at a big altar, or it was considered contaminating. The beast that is killed for sin would have contaminated the grounds of the tabernacle or the camp. So he said, For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Here's the next statement. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He didn't say camp, but he said gate. It was against the law to put to death a criminal inside the gates of the city of Jerusalem. It was against the law. Jesus was considered by the Jewish people and the leadership to be a criminal, to be a person of ill repute, a person who deserved to die. And because of that, he had to die outside the gate. By the way, Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull, is to this day outside the gate. All God's people said. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. From the time that Jesus came onto the scene to the time he went to the cross, he was ridiculed, he was reviled, he was cursed, he was called a drunkard, he was given very little latitude. And he had that same kind of treatment all the way to the cross. He was wickedly treated all the way to the cross. Even while he was on the cross, this happened. And what is being said in this verse is, if he can bear reproach outside the camp, we can. We're to understand that to mean that we should be more like him and less like the world in our lifestyle, all God's people said.
Amen.
Then he says, for here we have no continuing city. What was the continuing city for the nation of Israel? Jerusalem. They were looking forward to the Messiah coming and ushering in a great kingdom. They weren't planning to go anywhere. They were thinking if that was going to be their eternal place and it would just continue forever. And we know that eventually Messiah will come. But they thought that was going to happen very soon. They rejected Christ as that person. And therefore the followers would not accept the fact that Jerusalem was their continuing city. He said, we don't seek a continuing city here. We don't look for Jerusalem and the Messiah to set up his kingdom now. No, we look for one to come. It's called heaven. All God's people said.
Amen.
Then verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the verse we're going to preach on. Let me tell you just several things. Number one, in verse number 9, Paul says, we have a better sacrifice. In verse number 10, Paul says, we have a better altar. And verse number 11 through 14 is explained to us a better way. In verse 13, a better identification. In verse 14, a better city. In verse 15, a better worship. All because of Christ. Let me say that again. Better sacrifice, better altar, better way. Better identification, a better city, and a better worship. And we're going to look at that worship this morning. In the Old Testament, there were three offerings or sacrifices that were given that helped remove for another year or until the next time a difficulty with living a life in sin. There was the burnt offering A burnt offering was given because we, the people, had failed in their service and duty to God in some way. And so this was an individual offering. And somebody would bring an individual offering, a dove or something smaller, sometimes even a large animal. And they would offer that for their lack of serving God in the proper way. And that offering was burnt outside the camp. And when God saw that, in essence, he said, we'll cover that sin at that time. Now, here's the deal with that. They had to do that over and over again because they got out of sorts with God often, as do we. Then there was the sin offering. That was offered one time a year for the sins of the people. That was a lamb, pure, clean, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That was offered one time, once a year, for all the people. And when God saw the blood that was put on the altar, he passed over them for another year and did not bring any judgment. It was a covering for sin. Had to be done once a year, and it applied to the people for once a year. Then there was the trespass offering. Of course, that's sins of the day, or sins of the week, or however you want to call it. And today, when we sin during the day or during our week, we confess our sins to Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All God's people said, amen. Amen. We don't have to offer a sacrifice. But they did in the Old Testament, and this again was an ongoing thing. It happened often, because people often sin, and they would have to prepare a animal and bring it to the priest, who would take it outside of the gate, outside of the camp, and they would sacrifice it there to pay for that trespass that you had made at that time or during the day or whenever it happened. There is one other significant offering. Did not require a sacrifice. It was a voluntary offering. It was called the thanks offering or the praise offering. And they would take leavened cakes, little cakes, and bring them to the priest, and they would offer them, not as a sacrifice, but as a thanksgiving to God. The rabbis in their writings believe that the only offering that will be practiced in the millennium or the reign of the Messiah is the praise offering. Because Christ, the slain lamb, would have already died, paid the penalty, and as Messiah now stands there, and what else could we bring to the altar to worship him that would be better than a sacrifice of praise? Amen?
Amen.
And so here's our text. He says, because of Jesus, because of what he did, because of his fulfilling all of the law, because of his willingness to come to the earth in human form. By the way, that is a stoop of enormous size. It's almost impossible to rectify in your mind when you think that the Son of God, who lived in a perfect environment, who was perfect, never sinned, very God, comes to earth and takes upon the form of a man, very man. What the law could not do in that it was weak. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus came and did that. He stooped to leave heaven's glory, to come to earth, to live among sinful men in order that he might pay their sin penalty because of him. So it says in verse 15, by him therefore. And we could put our word because, and that's exactly what it means. Means because of him, because of his offering, because of his sacrifice once for all, because of him, we can offer the sacrifices of praise. Look with me, please. Number one, why are we to be thankful? Why are we to be thankful? Well, shouldn't everybody be thankful? Well, yeah, but why are we to be thankful? In the context of our verse, we're to be thankful because of him. All God's people said. Because of him. By him, therefore, by reason of him, literally. For the sake of him, we're to be thankful. We're to be thankful because he has furnished a finished work of redemption. Amen? We're to be thankful for him. We're to praise him because he has furnished a finished work of redemption. You could write by that phrase I just stated, a complete sacrifice, all God's people said. Secondly, we need to be thankful to him because he is a perfect high priest. Do you know, understand that Jesus wasn't a high priest after the order of Aaron? Because they served and died. They served and died. They never stopped serving. They never once were able to sit down. They were constantly walking in the Holy of Holies, making atonement for the sins of mankind. They had to be moving all the time. And they never sat down. They never rested. They died doing the work. Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who has neither beginning nor end. Jesus did not have to keep doing a sacrifice. He did it one time, once for all, and here's an interesting phrase in the book of Hebrews, and sat down. What an incredible thought. He is a perfect high priest. Because he has finished the work of redemption, a complete sacrifice. Because he is a perfect high priest, a sure intercession, guaranteed. And then there's a third reason, because he has provided a better place, an assured fellowship. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? Fellowship. Amen? Praise God. Can you imagine what it's going to be like being in heaven and everybody's going to have a perfect voice? Imagine that, Eddie. We had a guy in our church who couldn't carry a tune in the bucket. He couldn't carry the bucket. I was sitting by him one day and he is singing. It was the awfulest thing I ever heard come out of a person's mouth. And I wanted to say, not so loud, Mike, not so loud. And he noticed that I was looking at him. He looked over at me and said, it's a joyful sound. I said, well, it doesn't sound very joyful for me. Well, he said, it comes from a joyful heart. Doesn't matter what you sound like. To God, it sounds great. Jesus offered the once-for-all final sacrifice. There are no more sacrifices that can be offered for sin. Verse 12 tells us that Jesus, by his own blood, suffered without the gate, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Thank God that Jesus did the work on the cross. He made a better sacrifice. We have a better altar. We have a better fellowship because of Jesus. Why are we to be thankful? Because of him. Because of him. But not only do we need to know why we should be thankful, but let me suggest to you what time or when, at what times, or what should occupy or be the reason. When are we to be thankful? Here's what the verse says. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, underline this word, continually. How many know what continually means? It means all the... that's not hard, is it? Now let me ask all of us a question. Do we offer the sacrifices of praise continually? I know none of you, like me, get out of sorts. I know you. None of you do that. Never raise your voice. Never scold your kids. Never lose your temper. Right? You're all like me. Well, we're to offer the sacrifice of praise most of the time. No, continually. You know, even for the difficult things, even for the hard things, even for those things that may hurt. In Psalm 30, David praises God for his greatness, his mercy, his protection, his nearness, his deliverance, his incredible providence. And then in verses 11 and 12, he makes this wonderful declaration. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will go give thanks unto thee forever. All God's people said. Amen. Matthew Henry wrote a commentary. It comes in three to six volumes. He wrote those during his lifetime as a pastor, and they've been used now by pastors and laymen across the world by the millions for over 300 years. What a man of God. Listen to this story. Matthew Henry did some wonderful thinking in his life. He said, however, one night he was out and he was mugged. How many know what mugged means? The next day he wrote this in his diary. Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And then lastly, fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. How many of us would, somebody robbed us, we would have been so mad. I don't want to hurt him, I just want to tear his head off, that's all. I just don't want to hurt him, I just want to make sure he understands never do that again while he's limping the rest of his life. When are we to be thankful? Continually. Continually. Then lastly, how are we to be thankful? He says in our verse, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. How are we to be thankful? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, all God's people said. Amen. Say it. Sing it. Speak it. Shout it. The fruit of our lips. Say it. God, I'm thankful. Shout it. Praise God. Sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sing it. In fact, when it says that the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, really has the thought of the pouring out of praise. If we could say it this way, a farmer would say, we empty the basket. Amen? Amen. Praise until your throat gets sore. Why are we to do that? The Redeemer is so glorious. The redemption so complete. The redeemed so pardoned. We cannot do anything but give thanks. We've got a day coming up to do that. Instead of thinking about the turkey or the ham or the roast, the potatoes and the sweet potatoes and whatever else you eat with it. Thank God for that. But take some time around your table to hold hands and individually say to God, we are thankful. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Why did he say his name? It's the name of God expresses three things. Number one, his character. Number two, his person. And number three, his works. You want to know about God, study God's names. You'll find them involved in one of those three areas. Him displaying his character. Him showing his person. And him doing his mighty works. Let's be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this day. May we be a thankful people. May this meal this morning be a reflection on our heart toward thee. Being thankful for what we receive today. And may the fellowship be great. Bless this food, we pray, as we partake in just a few moments. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.